Welcome to the Generation for Change podcast series brought to you by myself, Emma Brown, a part of the G4C Southwest, part of the Constructing Excellence organisation. My name is Emma Brown. I am the current committee member of G4C Southwest and one of the co-chairs for G4C Gloucestershire. And I'm here to chat to Hannah, who is the Executive Director of Gloucestershire and Oxfordshire Community Rail Partnership. So, Hannah, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi there. Yes, thank you for the intro, Emma. My name's Hannah McDonnell. I'm the Executive Director of Gloucestershire and Oxfordshire Community Rail Partnership. The Oxfordshire Community Rail Partnership aspect of our work was only launched last year, but Gloucestershire work has been going since 2020.
Perfect. So would you be able to give our listeners a quick intro into your personal journey into the industry?
Absolutely. Very happy to do so, and delighted to be thinking about this in terms of the context of young people and youth voice, because my journey was sort of an interesting one in terms of where I came from, because I started my career in youth work in London many moons ago, and basically ended up specialising in environmental education. So I used to work in a lot of sites across South London where I'd be supporting young people to access nature through urban sort of gardens and encourage them to feel confidence in natural spaces. So it started off there, my journey, a very different place from today. And I used to rattle off like 10 to 15 activities a day with groups of 30 people. I can't even imagine doing it now. But I had lots of energy then in a different sort of way. So, yeah, from there, I ended up flipping that on its head. And I happened to have an opportunity to move to Portugal in 1999 and had... was fortuitous enough to have a whole sort of like small holding, a piece of land that we bought and developed as an ecotourism site. So in a way, I came from that sort of environmental education place with young people and then started to turn it into a private business. So went into so that was sort of very charity sector and then moved into the private sector and was trying to sort of model an idea of behaviour change through experiences on a site, a conservation site, and encouraging people to come and experience something a bit wilder and be more confident in nature. And from there, I started getting involved with local government around sort of sustainable tourism and helping local communities to have new sort of economic opportunities, because they had a massive problem around young people leaving the area. So a huge amount of youth outward migration from these villages. I mean, for example, where I was living, there were 7 villages and only 105 people living there. So young people were just flooding away from these areas, and they really wanted to think of strategies to help to encourage young people to stay in rural places, and they felt that tourism was an opportunity to try and think about how they could build a business and how we built a business there. So and from there, in the end, I ended up back in England for various reasons and factors, but also because I was getting involved in more strategic work around tourism planning and development, and ended up in Gloucestershire luckily, and worked very closely with an organisation specialised in young people and communities to build a sustainable and responsible tourism plan for the canal corridor, the Stroudwater Canal, and thinking about how we can attract a more sort of youthful and equitable audience to experience the canal. And that's when I got involved in Community Rail and haven't looked back since. So yes, that was just a few pilots back in 2018, I think it was, to evidence the opportunity to link rail to the canal infrastructure to make it more of an equitable sort of leisure experience and also reduce carbon whilst we're at it. And then from there, two years later, I think it was, we founded the Gloucestershire Community Rail Partnership.
Blimey, well, sounds like you've had a lot of experience in the industry then. So you say you've done all this, but what actually attracted you to enter this sector?
What attracted me to enter this particular piece of work, I mean, this the kind of community rail context and the rail and transport context, was really a very strong sense and understanding that young people are struggling immensely with the climate emergency, wanting to find sort of solutions to more sustainable lifestyles and sustainable living. And that actually, you know, despite the challenges of rail and public transport, that actually that option to choose car-free lifestyles is something that young people, we've built quite a lot of evidence base around that since, but we, it was very clear to me that that was what young people really wanted to see, is an op, is to build sort of more capacity around sort of options to go car free, A, as a kind of, you know, an option for kind of carbon reduction, but also thinking about sort of like the future and the future generations and how that's going to be better for our society. So really, for me, that's what really excites me. Back in 2019, G1st NEP did a fantastic youth survey where they identified that young people are leaving the county, and that a lot of that is due to sort of connectivity challenges, and transport is obviously a key factor. So that's really what draws me, is that whole piece around, you know, creating a better place for the next generation.
Wow. Okay. So you say you founded the Gloucestershire Community Rail Partnership. Yes. So what we've just talked about, all those issues you've identified, so what do they actually do? What do you do to tackle those issues?
So I always talk about a bit of a kind of like a cake in terms of what we do, a sort of sponge cake, a two-layered one, because I like a Victoria sponge with some cream in the middle. But yeah, basically, we have a team. There's five of us on the team, and we run various programs, which I would say are solutions focused. So we identify issues. An example of that might be, we identified that young people of ethnic minority group communities are not feeling confident to access the countryside, and often that's to do with a perception around safety, welcome, whether or not they're going to experience racism in those places. So we developed a program that was to support young people from Gloucester to access the countryside, so really with the kind of aim of the countryside being for everyone, and that whole piece of work has been immensely popular. We've supported hundreds of young people to access the countryside and green spaces who otherwise might not have been confident or not had the opportunity. And so that's kind of one of the programs. It's called Getaway. That's a real sort of focusing on the solution and building travel confidence for young people. So that's just a sort of gateway. So if you do it in a sort of leisure context, that actually that might lead into those young people thinking, actually, maybe I could search for work further away from home, and maybe I could be confident to travel on a train or catch a bus. So that's one of the sort of programs that we run. There's several like that. But also a big piece of what we'll do is, and that's because we're a partnership, and we're in partnership, we work with the rail industry, the county council, community partners, bus providers, access and inclusion specialists. We will use that evidence and data to influence decision making around sort of building sort of connections and transport connectivity. So, for example, at Gloucester Station, as many of you will know, it's been under renovation, and there's a lot of improvements that are sort of being made at the forecourt and in the entrance. And we were approached by our partner, Great Western Railway, to look into what are the barriers for local communities in terms of the space and the entrance and the welcome. And we were commissioned to go and have a look and run some workshops and engagement sessions with young people to really kind of get them to vision the future and think about what would that forecourt benefit from in the future. So we went in, we ran about 6 to 8 workshops where they produced lots of creative work. So it's real creative consultations, and they visioned the future of the forecourt. And at the same time, we did some really deep surveying work, some more quantitative analysis of what the perceptions were around the forecourt, what could be better, what could be improved. And then all of that data is used to support our partners to make those infrastructure decisions based on what local people's needs are.
Well, that sounds really good. I mean, it's vital, isn't it, to make sure that the young people using the transport have an influence on how what it looks like, how they're going to use it themselves. So obviously G4C is all about getting young people into the industry, informing them, making them more a bigger part of the industry. So how can our listeners get involved and support this positive change to the planning process?
Well, we'd welcome sort of any engagement from your partners and anyone in the industry, really, to look at how we can work together. I mean, there's many different, we've developed different ways of sort of engaging young people to sort of really understand what their needs are and to develop mechanisms that work for our partners. So, for example, if we're working with a transport provider, we know what they need to hear and what they need to find out about, but we can actually go in and do that in a sensitive way that actually brings that data forward for our partners. But on the other hand, we've also got some sort of access to various documents and resources and reports on our website that you're welcome to sort of download and pull out from. There's lots of data around what young people are wanting to sort of see in the future, how they envisage the sort of infrastructure changes and how they want to be able to access and utilise them. So really, please do get in touch. There's lots that we can do to sort of support you in terms of understanding what local young people's needs are, and also thinking about that kind of whole piece around the broader perspective of youth in a national level. Is like we know what people are thinking nationally. How can we drill down into that locally, and how can we support them to access careers and work that they might not otherwise have considered? We also have some really good resources around supporting everyone to access work. So travel confidence resources that might be helpful. We have a program called Let's Talk Travel, and those are all sort of available on our website. You can download various sort of leaflets that are sort of around travel confidence, around cutting the cost of travel. And they'll have little tips and clues that we've identified through our research that people are kind of worried about. And our next piece of work is going to really look at safety, because we've identified for young people safety is a key concern. It comes up again and again and again, and no matter how many sort of times and ways we ask that question, it often sort of just circles back to the issue of safety. And that might be around perception, that might be around reality or experience, but we want to build a really good, strong piece of resource to support people to sort of feel more safe when they're accessing places. But I think in terms of access to careers and access for young people, it's our travel confidence work, it's our travel confidence resources. Contact us if you want to find out some specifics around young people and their needs, and really thinking about that whole flow as well. It's not just about finding out, it's also that continuum, that sort of continuously reviewing and engaging with young people to see, okay, what's changed? This is all about behaviour change, isn't it? And how we can support young people to really kind of consider things and feel confident and retain that young talent.
Yeah, well, okay, really good. So what do you think you enjoy most about that? Obviously, you've given an overview, a very comprehensive overview of what Gloucestershire Rail do, the partnership do. So what, in your day-to-day role, what do you enjoy most about it, do you think?
In terms of what I enjoy the most, my day is really, really varied. There's so much that you do in a role like mine. You might be, working with strategic partners to really influence change. On the other side, we're sort of reviewing your finances, projecting and looking forward to the future and trying to sort of identify how you're going to make it sort of like really sustainable and grow in a positive way. But for me, the most exciting bit are the changes that we can see. And that's a long game piece. You know, it's really about influencing, representing and making sure the community and youth voice is heard. When I see the evidence around the team coming forward with fantastic sort of nuggets of qualitative evidence that young people who've never sort of, been very confident to travel or try new things out, some of those remarks that are said, you know, around, you know, just like, this has changed my life. I'd never thought that this would be available to me. I never thought that I'd be able to do this in my life. That is what inspires me on a day-to-day basis, and using that to really influence change around infrastructure. Because I think for me, over my years of working in community sector, private sector, sort of that balance between infrastructure and communities and people is critical. And I think there's a real shift going on now where we're recognizing that has to be better sort of integrated in terms of understanding what humans need, what the next generation needs, and designing infrastructure around that. So for me, that is the most exciting thing, is that we are actually getting somewhere in terms of a bit of a shift in sort of culture around design and construction and building, that we're actually thinking more around what's coming up in the future. How do we support that? How do we support young people to feel excited by those careers as well, and those opportunities? And I think that, you know, in the position we're in, where we're in a partnership with people who are very infrastructure focused, very sort of like, there's a lot of health and safety, that we're that kind of preferred partner, let's say, who really understands what's on the ground and that we're being listened to, is the most exciting thing for me. I mean, I love a spreadsheet. I love looking at the whole kind of like, you know, organizing and working with the teams. But actually, the actual change and outcomes that we are working towards are really exciting. And I do think it's been slow progress, and there's lots of still to change, but I think we're getting there. And I think the appetite for representing and understanding young people is really key. And I see that much more now. I see that people are realizing that needs to happen. We need young people to feel heard and to be listened to, and to make sure that they're actually part of as many aspects of decision making as possible. And for me, that's what gets me out of bed in the morning, I suppose.
Gosh, I bet that's such a rewarding experience, all of that. I bet it's absolutely incredible. So obviously, with encouraging young people into the industry, that's G4C's kind of core objective. Do you have any advice to encourage the younger generation into the industry?
I think listening is the key thing. I think really understanding young people, which I think is quite intimidating to some people. And I think that barrier is massive. So we need to break down, demystify that relationship and not feel scared of it. So the old, I'm certainly not a young person, you know, I'm post 50 and I was still, you know, I need to be checked all the time. I'm very fortunate to have a 20-year-old and a 23-year-old who keep me in check and remind me that I need to think differently. So that's, I mean, it's wonderful having that in the house, but a lot of people aren't fortunate enough to have that around them. And obviously we're working with young people all the time. So I think really having more confidence, I think we have to build the confidence of older generations as well to engage and really respect that voice, and bringing that into your everyday thought processes, that this is my thought, but actually, you know, there are going to be young people with other perspectives and we need to ask other young people. So I think, you know, having sort of youth panels, youth forums, the opportunity for young people to really be, you know, involved in decision making, and that's it, what's really critical. And I think young people, you know, you don't underestimate young people, they're so smart. Well, you are the one yourself, so you know that. But that must not be tokenistic. That has to be deep engagement, and that needs to have a continuum and to be constantly checked. So it's like, it takes time, but it will pay off. I think that's, you know, people that, oh, I haven't got time for that, you know, that's going to be really difficult. No, it's not difficult. Just start it off. Just be brave, be confident, and recognise that actually young people are feeling quite intimidated by things as well, you know, and that's not just, you know, you as an older person who might be intimidated by young people. There's a vice versa here, and that we've got a lot to learn from each other.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Hannah. This has been really insightful, and I'm really, really glad that we had a chance to talk. Is there anything else that you wanted to add before we finish?
I mean, I suppose it's really important to understand the context of community rail and where it sits in the country. It's a national movement. So we only started in 2020, but it is a national movement. And there are 76 community rail partnerships across the country. And they're all underpinned by the Department for Transport's community rail strategy. And we have an umbrella organisation called the Community Rail Network, who oversees the 76 partnerships. And the community rail development strategy has four pillars, and one of them being providing a voice for the community. So that's what we've talked about a lot today. The other is promoting sustainable and healthy travel. The other is bringing communities together to support diversity and inclusion. And the other is supporting social and economic development. And this will result in sort of helping communities to flourish through rail. And it might say rail in the title, but that also includes bus, that includes walking, that includes cycling, which all amounts to more sort of healthy lifestyles, which very much keys into what we're talking about, what young people are looking for and what we're sort of future-proofing our sort of environment. So I think not forgetting that there is a community rail strategy, but each community rail partnership has a very different approach. Mm-hmm. Ours is an independent, we're a community interest company called Go Community Rail Partnerships, CIC, and under that sits the Oxfordshire and the Gloucestershire Community Rail Partnerships. And those partnerships are steered by steering groups, which have representatives from the county council, sometimes district council, bus providers, our rail industry partners and community partners, and often the university. So Oxford University and Gloucester University are also part of that. And really, those steering groups are around what activities should we do that's really going to make a difference for our communities. And integrated into all of our projects is that youth piece. We really believe that young people and youth representation and youth voice is key to everything we do. So we do focus on young people. We focus on diversity and inclusion and creating solutions around the climate emergency. So every partnership's got a different flavour, but what ours is very much dedicated to those particular things. So diversity and inclusion, youth and climate solutions. And really what's been quite exciting over the last few years is providing those services for our partners beyond the rail industry, who are really looking at infrastructure. So be that planners, construction companies, beyond, there's an interest now, and that's usually around the youth voice piece and understanding what young people need and making sure we can attract new talent into careers in various sectors.
Thank you very much, Hannah, for coming on. Really appreciate you talking about your industry and your role.
Thank you, Emma. An absolute pleasure to be here. I'm delighted to be able to talk about my favourite subject matter. And please do get in touch. If anyone's got any interests or any questions, don't hesitate to get in touch. It's been a privilege to talk to you.
Perfect. Thank you very much.